Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Gary Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into this edition of Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm your host, Ryan Porth, here with you. Joined in studio this evening by the one and only Darren McFarland, co-host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, weekdays 10 to 2, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can also catch Darren's work on the pre- and post-game show on the Predators Radio Network. Darren, how we doing on this Wednesday evening?
Good, Ryan. How are you?
Just dandy.
Well, great.
Beautiful day in Music City, definitely. USA. But not a beautiful game last night in Smashville.
Yeah, last night was kind of like the weather yesterday.
Yeah, a little bit.
Gray and rainy.
Hurricanes win 4-1. And I'm going to be honest, Darren, I didn't feel like the Preds, even when they tied the game to make it 1-1, when Ryan Johansson had the nice hand-eye coordination bat out of midair to tie it up at 1 early in the second period. They get the power play opportunity right after that because Carolina challenged for goalie interference. Yep. I don't know what they were looking at
with
that decision.
He never even made contact.
Right.
In fact, Carolina's the one who made the contact.
And the fact that you now get a penalty if you lose out on that challenge, I was surprised that Brenda Moore challenged that.
Especially at that spot in the game. It's the beginning of the second period. It's tied at, well, it would be tied at 1. I mean, I get it. You're trying to erase a goal, but that could have turned into 2-1 Predators, and
that's kind
of
what I was
getting
at.
The complexion of the game.
Yeah, that could have been a total game changer. But the Preds' power play last night was not good.
I'm not sure they got a shot off on that power play.
I don't think so. The one in the first period, they had some pretty good looks, but the power plays to follow after that were pretty bad.
And then, unfortunately, right after that, they took the penalty, and Carolina capitalized 5 seconds into theirs.
Svechnikov with his 24th of the year to make it 2-1 Carolina, 3:45 into the second period. Then Nino Niederreiter, just a few minutes later, makes it 3-1. And then Sebastian Aho in the third period continued his hot streak, his 10-game point streak continuing. He now has 34 goals on the season.
He's good.
He's very good. And I'll say this, Carolina, I will give them a lot of credit for what we saw last night, but I am still really disappointed in what we saw out of the Preds. Considering that Sunday night against the Blues at home, I understand it is your division rival. That Preds team Sunday night played like they had something to play for. Last night, it felt like they just came out and thought it was just a November or December game, that they weren't in dire need of points in the standings. They lacked urgency. Hurricanes did not. Carolina came to play. They came to play like they were in the middle of a playoff race, and they deserved the 2 points last night, winning 4-1.
They came in 6-3-1 in their last 10 and still on the outside looking in. So they've been playing well and still trying to get into the playoff picture, which tells you, by the way, how loaded the Eastern Conference is.
It's crazy.
It is crazy loaded. Glad the Western Conference is a little bit easier path. And can we do something about freaking Mom's Night at Bridgestone Arena?
I think you're going to have to change the city of Nashville to do something
That's
about mom trips or dad trips.
It's like
everyone wants to come to Nashville.
Right. And so then everybody wants to play well in front of their moms. And that was the case last night for the Hurricanes. It's disappointing because they had really built up a nice 3-game stretch there. I mean, those were 3 good wins. I mean, the Islanders and the 2 games against St. Louis were good wins. Those were good teams. They got St. Louis's best, I felt like, on Sunday.
They did.
And I thought they were the better team on Saturday, and I thought they got the best on Sunday from St. Louis. St. Louis looked like a really, really desperate team. And that was a team, I thought, in the Predators that if that was earlier in the year, they would have lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot like last night. It would have been a very, easy win for St. Louis, probably like 4-1. But I loved the pushback. I love the fact that they hung in there. I love the fact that they took St. Louis's punches and their best, and they still came away with the win. It was a great game. It was a great atmosphere. And I came away on Monday going, you know what? I'm like dangerously close to really thinking that this thing is about to turn the corner. Maybe this is where they take off. Maybe this is the start of that patch that everybody's been waiting for. It's the first time since they beat Tampa, the Lightning, on the, I think, the 26th of October. First time they've had a three-game winning streak since then.
Mm-hmm.
And then they followed it up with a win at home against Chicago for a four-game winning streak. And so I'm thinking Carolina. I know they haven't had success against them, but that was with Peter Laviolette. Maybe that's all going to change. Maybe they're going to string four together. And then, you know, has a lot of the players referenced. You know, Ryan Johansson told Chase in postgame, throw this one in the trash. Rocco Grimaldi just flat out just gave Carolina the credit and said, you know, we right. weren't good enough. They right. they were. They deserved it. John Hines outworked, outplayed. The head coach said, Carolina, the better team won. And I guess it's disappointing because that was, what, game 59 last night? Is that right? Yeah, yep. 59. And all the stuff that we've talked all year, and as much as you've heard John Hines talk about attitude and mental fortitude and what it takes night in and night out, it's like, and then you got to hear that speech again, you know? And it's yeah. like, golly, it's like, for one, I still don't understand how a veteran room like that needs to be told what it takes to win night in and night out. You know, I mean, they know.
And I think
they've been through all that.
The scary thing for this team for me is that what we've seen less frequently with John Hines, but too frequently with Peter Laviolette, were the games where you came away scratching your head thinking, who is this team? What is this team?
I think it was, this is the way I look at it, Ryan. If a lot of these games that we can all identify, right? If me and you sit here and said the Vegas game, the two Pittsburgh games, the, you know, we can go Detroit earlier, this Carolina game, and we can go through the list, right?
I've got a list of them.
Okay. Right. And I guarantee I'm going to be like, yep, yep, yep. If those games were different, let's say some of those were like a shootout loss, a four-round shootout, or an overtime loss, or a crazy game to the finish, it would feel different.
Or even a close game to the finish.
A crazy game with a close finish.
Sure.
But they still can't. Let's just say in this case, I gave you where they at least get a point. Let's say you came up with 0 points. It feels different, mm-hmm. right? I don't know if that means anything. But too many times we're talking about games where you could just tell, and unfortunately in this case, a lot of them at home, and as you've seen, I mean, the fans aren't sticking around. I mean, they've gotten accustomed to this too much where the home games are not, you know, Sunday was great. That was a battle to the end at home.
It was the best atmosphere and that we've seen in that building.
And the atmosphere reflected, right? They gave
all season
them,
long.
They hung in there, and it was electric.
Yep.
It was a playoff feel. But then last night, it's what I've seen so many times this year. 8, 9 minutes, 7 minutes to go in the third, 6 minutes.
Each first time a TV whistle timeout.
Blows. Every yep. time a whistle blows, you just see people filing out.
Yeah. And you take Sunday. This is almost the story of the Pred season. You take Sunday night, the atmosphere in there, the level of compete, the level of intensity on the ice from the Preds, even though they got outplayed by the Blues that night. They found a way to win. They scratched and clawed, and they made a play when it was winning time, I guess you could say. They find a way to win that game, and it feels like this, I don't know if the word pinnacle moment is too much for that, but in this regular season where it's been so topsy-turvy, that felt like some sort of turning point. And then 48 hours later, it was night and day in the arena, on the ice, and that to me is concerning. Another concerning part of last night is what John Hines had to say after the game when Robbie Stanley asked him a question about, you know, you felt like you had some good vibes coming into the game. And John Hines' response to this question that we're about to hear was a little bit of an alarm bell for me. Let's take a listen.
Morning is that given the progress it seemed like you were making in that area in the last three games or so?
Yeah, it's another situation for us together as a group since I've been here. It's the first time we did win three in a row. We came off, you know, a weekend where I think everyone feels good. And, you know, as a coach, we had the day off yesterday. And, you know, I didn't have a great day off because you're worried about where's the mindset of your team. And a lot of times you can get lost. You can get lost in a big win. You can get lost in success. And the second that happens, you get complacent. It's just you just lose your edge a little bit and you lose your hunger. And it's human nature. But that's something that, you know, we didn't handle the situation as well as we need to. But it's the first time we've seen it. We have bounced back after some bad losses. You know, we didn't bounce back and play the game, be prepared to play the game the way you need to after two big wins and three in a row. So that's an area we certainly have to address and we have to improve.
That was John Hines after the game last night. And for me, Darren, I was fearful of a letdown, but that was the last thing I wanted to see, which is what happened on the ice last night, where you're not connecting passes, you're not sustaining any sort of ozone time, or really making Peter Mrazek work. I mean, outside of a couple saves on a Philip Forsberg breakaway, Peter Mrazek didn't have to truly work for that victory. And then you hear what John Hines has to say there. That, to me, is concerning. That even on his day off on Monday, even after a couple of emotional victories, when he's been preaching mental fortitude with this team for the last 5-6 weeks since he's been behind the bench, and that he was still having some concerns about that when a lot of people thought they were turning a corner Sunday. That, to me, is concerning to hear that from the head coach after a game like last night, after game 59.
Yep. I actually brought up that quote that Robbie tweeted out after we heard John Hines' press conference. And I said the same thing, and I had Hal just kind of weigh in on it. Just tell me how that happens in a room. And yeah, I would agree with everything you said. It is confusing to think how in the world could a team honestly be complacent or lose focus or get caught up in three wins whenever you haven't done that since October. I mean, you haven't been in the playoff picture since November. I don't know. I'm a little bit confused, to be honest, on some of what John Hines, like, he's telling us something without telling us. I just don't know what exactly he's telling us. He's telling us that, I don't know, the room, if you have to constantly say this for a room that's been through all the battles that they've been through over the years and all the winning that they've done, and these guys know how this works. So what's happened? You know what? Why does a new voice have to come in and tell you how you should be thinking in the off on an off day, what it takes to win night in and night out, or what it takes to at this level?
They should know that. They've been there. They've done that.
I don't know how that's possible. And so I'm trying to figure out what is he telling us? What is he signed up for? Because I'm interested to know, too, like, what he thought he was walking into and what he thinks now after 18 games.
It's a great question.
You know, because he does, I mean, he didn't know. I mean, he has watched the Predators from afar. He has been a head coach in the Eastern Conference. He saw them twice a year, and he sees them from afar, like most of us do at the Eastern Conference, right? We can tell you the good teams, but, I mean, it's not like we're sitting here watching the Eastern Conference teams night in and night out.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are the Western Conference teams or Central Division teams. Or the Predators. So he has seen them from afar, and so he knows they've had success. He knows they've been a playoff team every year. He knows they've, you know, won a President's Trophy. He knows they've won back-to-back division titles. He knows 3 years ago they went to the Stanley Cup Final. But I wonder, though, what he thought he was signing up for, because remember, he's taking over, with all that being said, a team that just let go of their coach, with all that being said, right? All that success, they've yet fired their coach in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, now that he's been on the bench for 18 games and he's been at practice and he's been traveling with them, I wonder how different it is when he walked in for the first time the morning of a home game against the Bruins.
I mean, that's enough of a sample size. I mean, that's essentially a quarter of a season.
Now, he knows. Yeah. It's why he's saying all these things. He knows. I mean, he has formed his opinion. At this point, you don't need any more than, I mean, you know, he's been around them now for a good while. I mean, he's got a feeling. But what I would love to know is, like I said, is it the same? Is it a little bit different? Or is it a lot different mm-hmm. than what you thought you were signing up for.
So along those lines, what we saw on the ice last night and what we're going to see moving forward, was last night a bump in the road or was it another step back? We'll continue this conversation on the other side. He's Darren McFarland. I'm Ryan Porth. You are listening to Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.
I think there's a lot of things we can do better. I think we're breaking out of our zone, clean, coming out together, coming out as a five-man unit, coming with speed through the zone. We didn't have much of that. I feel like every time we got in, we had to forecheck or we didn't get out clean, so we could definitely change that.
That was Captain Roman Josi last night following a 4-1 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Preds lose that game after winning three in a row. Preds now sit at 65 points through 59 games. They still have games in hand on the Jets, the Coyotes, and Flames, all three teams ahead of them in the wild card hunt in the Western Conference. The Jets won last night. The Coyotes and Flames were idle. So the Preds did not lose ground within the wild card standings, but they did lose a game in hand, a valuable game in hand, with a 4-1 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes last night. And Darren, you know, the tone of this show is like a 180 from Monday, because Monday you felt belief. You felt like a corner was truly being turned, and maybe it is, and maybe this is just a bump in the road of them turning that corner on their way to a sixth consecutive playoff berth, or at least remaining in the playoff hunt for the rest of the season. But last night was yet another loss in which you had a bad taste in your mouth leaving the arena. And there have been way too many of those this season, whether you're watching in Bridgestone Arena or you're watching at home for a road game. And I said this with Willie Donick last week, said it with Adam Vinken Monday, that there have been way too many games this season. There have been a lot more losses where you feel bad about this team than there have been wins where you feel good about this team. So earlier today, I was compiling a list of the bad taste games. Okay, I want to see if you agree with these. October 17th at Arizona, they lose 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
Played awful that night. Halloween night against Calgary, you're up 4-1. You lose 6-5 in overtime. The one that got away.
Don't even need to comment.
That's where the whole regular season turned. Because after that,
they're up 4-1 after two.
On their way to a fifth straight victory.
It goes 5-5 to overtime.
Yep.
Kachuk scores with 1 second, a shot between his legs.
Yep.
Top shelf with 1 second left in overtime.
A turning point in this season for the Preds. You have November 7th at Colorado, 9-4. Obvious reason.
Goes without saying.
November 16th at home against Chicago, you lose 7-2. November 21st at home against Vancouver, you lose 6-3. That was the sixth consecutive loss in that losing streak. December 14th at home against Dallas, you lose 4-1. Or then you have everyone questioning the compete level. You have the first game back after the holiday break, December 27th at home against Pittsburgh, 5-2. They were run out of their own building. You have New Year's Day, the Winter Classic at Dallas, up 2-0, lose 4-2. That felt like the final nail in the coffin for Peter Laviolette.
Well, that one was a little bit different. We were there. It was literally just the end of the second period and that first 5 minutes of the third. It just got off the rails.
You left the Cotton Bowl with that, man, like, why does this keep happening? Like,
was the narrative of they can't get out of these patches. This whether it's a period, whether it's a stretch, a 10-minute stretch, an 8-minute stretch, a 6-minute stretch, there are stretches where they cannot get out of.
Right.
And you can have bad stretches, but because teams have bad stretches all the time. But sometimes it doesn't lead to anything.
Sure.
It's just like, whoo, man, we did not play well for like 8 minutes.
Like the Blues game Sunday.
Yeah, and we survived, right? I mean, that happens. So I don't know if I would – I mean, this is just semantics. I just don't know if I would put the Winter Classic game in there.
I do, personally.
Okay.
I mean, to each their own.
Yeah.
Like,
I just felt like it was one of those, like some of these games, like you just knew. I mean, the Calgary game's a little bit different, but a lot of these games, it was like over from jump.
I mean,
it just, it didn't feel right at the beginning, and throughout the course of the game, it never changed.
Never got better.
And so I didn't have that feeling in the winter. Like I said, I remember second period intermission going, this is going to be critical right out. Once the Dallas starting on a power play, I was like, man, this is going to be the first 5 minutes are going to be
Preds led 2-1.
They were leading 2-1.
Yep.
I was like, the first 5 minutes of this period, because you can feel it in here. We're sitting there at the Cotton Bowl. We're ringside, and I'm like, you can feel the momentum shifting. This is going to be big. Kill off this penalty. First 5 minutes, keep the crowd out of it. Can't let Dallas score, and we know what happened.
So right.
That's the only reason I'm saying that. Where some of these games, it's like, you know, like the Vancouver games, my goodness, the minute the
brutal.
Somebody went to the box, the game was
right.
Was about to be decided because of the power play goals.
January 16th, home Anaheim, lose 4-2.
Yep.
That was a bad one. Home Toronto, January 27th, right out of the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. You lose 5-2. February 1st at home against Vegas, worst offensive performance of the season. You lose 3-0. February 10th, last Monday at Vancouver, lose 6-2. Pecorino gets run out after 21 minutes between the pipes. And then last night against Carolina, 4-1 loss at home. That's 13 games. And you could probably make some arguments for other games to be put on that list, which would mean about a fourth of your season so far, you've come away from a game with a bad taste in your mouth.
Well, you didn't even bring up the second Pittsburgh game. You brought up the first one.
I mean, the first period was a train wreck in that game. So, yeah, I mean, again, you can make an argument for other games to be on that list.
And I'm not lobbying for that, just so you know. I'm not saying, no, you forgot, because that's a pretty extensive list.
Yeah. That's 25% of their games so far this year, Darren.
I know.
And the fact that they had another one, I think, was mightily disappointing for me after thinking that the corner had been turned. So the overarching question after last night for me is, was tonight a bump in the road of them turning that corner, or is it a step back in their quest to turn the corner?
Well, it, for me, it would have to be a step back, because I said at the beginning, I literally felt like after Sunday's game, like I was right there. I even said it on Monday's show on Darren, Donick, and Chase. I said, I am like right there. Like I feel like this is starting to feel different. Like this is... I think maybe they are turning a corner. And I want to see after tonight, or after tomorrow night, which was last night against Carolina, like if they can string together 4 wins in a row, they got one road game left in the month of February. And maybe if they can get on a roll, especially at home, maybe this is the area, the stretch of a season where we look back and say, this is where everything turned around. This is when things went their direction. And I said, but I hesitate because we haven't seen it. Like, I have to see it. Like, to me, Carolina was a big part of that, because I thought once you got to 4, and I probably would have said the same thing even if they would have beaten Carolina last night, and said, now I want to see if they can, because the Chicago game is the Calgary game on Halloween night. Like, can they, because remember, through 2 periods, everybody in the building at Bridgestone Arena on Halloween night was like, man, the month of October was spectacular.
They're unstoppable.
They are on fire. They're scoring goals at will. This, woo, man, does this feel and look good. And then everything changed just like that. Everything. And then the whole month of November was not
was a
good.
Struggle.
So everything changed just literally in the third period of that game, where up to that point, man, did it feel and look good. And the vibe was great for everybody, right? And so I hesitated, because it's like, I don't know how you could possibly, even the most eternal optimist, how could you possibly say yes without seeing a little, I mean, we are in mid to late February now. I mean, it's not like we have a body of work now where you can go, okay, I need to see something to truly drive the bus or get on the bus, right, and say, yep, it's happening. And I said, I'm right there. I did. I said, I am right there. And then, you know, last night happened, and it's like, man. And that's the tough part, because I thought you laid it out well, unfortunately, and I don't even like to relive some of those, because some of them are such bad memories. But it's like, that's the part that's tough, because – if some of those were different, even if they were losses, but they looked different, I think they would feel different, but they weren't.
Right.
And I think anytime, because I've always said, I mean, I can't be phony and be different when it comes to the Predators or in hockey than when I say this about any other sport, where I said, you know, not all losses are the same. Like, coaches may try to tell you that, well, an L is an L. That's not true. It is not true. Not all losses are the same, and you have to look at what happened and how it played out, because you may have the mentality an L is an L, but that's phony, because if you're getting run out of, you know, a gym, a football, getting run off the field or the ice or whatever, that is not the same as losing a heartbreaker, you know, with a goal 5 seconds to go, or a power play goal with a minute to go, or whatever. You know what I mean? A hard-fought game that comes down to the end and you lose. There's no way you tell me, even though a loss is a loss, that they feel and look the same. They just don't.
I'm looking at this list that I compiled. 9 of the 13 games that I listed were at home.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. They've been struggling at home, and hopefully the end of that long home stretch that ends on March 2nd at home against Edmonton. They have a 5-game homestand after Friday night's game against Chicago. Hopefully they can get this thing going into March and get some victories under their belt. And really, the Chicago and Columbus games, I think, are going to be a big test to find out whether or not this team is turning a corner, whether last night's game was just a bump in the road or if it truly was a step back. If we see more of the same this weekend, then, yeah, I think last night was a step back. If they go to Chicago and win, they come back home and beat a battered Columbus team at home and take care of business against two teams that they should beat, then maybe we're sitting here thinking, okay, they've won 5 of 6. They've won 9 of their last 13 games overall. Then, yeah, maybe we are sitting here Monday on deadline day saying they've turned a corner.
I think David Poile should trade for Peter Mrazek and ship him to the KHL. Just to so the Predators never have to see Peter Mrazek again.
He's 9-1.
9-1, and he's never lost in Bridgestone Arena. I think he's 5-0.
The first loss was Black Friday in November. Mrazek was 8-0 in his career before Black Friday. Coming up next, speaking of Chicago and Columbus, these games coming up. How big are those games for the trade deadline? We'll get into that next. He is Darren McFarland. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, taking you up until Smashville Live at the top of the hour with Craig Smith and Austin Watson down in Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Chase McCabe and Hal Gill will be there with Craig Smith and Austin Watson. Should be a lot of fun coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back into the show. Preds Insiders brought to you every Monday and Wednesday by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Kerry Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard in downtown Nashville. Ryan Porth alongside Darren McFarland this evening after the Preds drop a big one last night, 4-1 to the Carolina Hurricanes. They are back at it Friday night in Chicago. Pregame at 6:30, puck drop at 7:30. All the action on ESPN 102.5, The Game. And Darren, the last thing that I wanted to see about 5 or 6 weeks ago, we talked trade deadline, and I believe it was you that I did the show with back in January, where I said, after the Carolina game, we have to know. We have to know whether this team is buying or selling, because you don't want to go into the Chicago and Columbus back-to-back not knowing what your plan is or which direction you want to go if you're GM David Poile. And here we are with the Preds on the fringe, 3 points out from both Arizona and Calgary.
Did you bring that up to say, and here we are, just like what I said before?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Preds, 3 points.
So where are we, by the way?
I mean, the Preds are kind of in no man's land.
I was going to say, what's...
I mean, and, you know, there's nothing comical about that. I don't know why we're laughing. You know, when Darren and I get on laughing fits, we usually can't really stop, and that dates back a long time. But
I would not want to be David Poile.
No.
Because I
you have really tough decisions to make before Monday. You've got two unrestricted free agents at forward, Mikal Granlund, Craig Smith, that if you trade them, you could get a pretty penny out on the open market, considering...
Well, is Rocco's UFA too, right?
He is. He's not going to bring as big of a haul, though.
True.
Via trade.
Yep.
Like, when you see what Tyler Toffoli is yielding and mm-hmm. Blake Coleman is yielding, you think, man, what could David Poile get for someone like Mikal Granlund and Craig Smith, two of their better forwards at the moment? But are you going to completely sell before Monday's deadline? I mean, Monday with Adam Vingan, I was thinking the mindset is changing with this trade deadline, that maybe you just stand pat. You don't do anything. You're not going to give up future assets because you can't yet truly trust this team. But if they're knocking on the door of the wild card, perhaps you just stand pat and not do anything. You don't add. You don't subtract. You go with this current team and you use Granlund Smith as your own rentals. But I have to think, Friday night in Chicago, Saturday in Columbus, David Poile is going to be watching this team very closely. And
really?
Those, I mean,
what's going to change in two games?
If they win both games, don't you have to keep Granlund and Smith at that point?
So those two games, that is the deciding factor.
This is the exact scenario that I wanted this team to completely avoid.
Exactly.
6 weeks ago.
So two games.
I said, after the Carolina game, you have to know. You have to know what you're doing at the trade deadline.
And now you're telling me it's these two games.
Yes, I am.
It's up to these two games.
Yes, I am. I don't like it.
you can't be serious.
But if they win both games, you cannot trade Granlund and Smith, right?
What if they're 3 points out of the playoff picture, exactly where they are right now?
They would still have games in
what
hand.
What if nothing has changed in the standings?
Well, if they lose both games, then I think you'd...
I'm telling you, though, you said if they win. I said, what if nothing's changed in the standings?
So, but you keep still, them as your own rentals.
Okay, so you told me during the break.
Yes.
You did not hear our conversation today on Darren, Donick, and Chase because you were in a meeting.
Yes.
And so we had this discussion. And as you said, as you pointed out, there have been already... some pretty high prices paid for guys that, okay.
Attractive prices for a Preds team that's cupboard is still bleak. It's not bare. Last summer, it helped. But you could use some of these assets that are being thrown around by playoff contenders.
Every day that goes by, maybe the prices go up. And so I have to believe weekend, come Monday, maybe things get even steeper, which I think there's a really good possibility. By the way, the Bruins haven't done anything. Avalanche, they're still... By the way, when you see the Capitals trade, you see the Blues trade, you see the Lightning trade, you see the Maple Leafs trade, you see all
Vegas.
These other... Vegas just traded for Martinez.
Yep.
You see all the teams around you trading. That makes other teams that are right in the thick of things get desperate too, and they got to make a move.
Sure.
So
especially when Colorado has a huge injury bug going on right now.
Right. And so... we played let's just say for the sake of this conversation, we'll do exactly what we did on the radio show. Let's just say that for the sake of this conversation, it's Granlund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And David Poile hasn't called anybody. Let's just say I've been saying David Poile, just stand pat. If it was me, I'm just standing pat. Let's just say that's what David Poile is going into. Like, I'm cool. But the phone's ringing. So he's got to answer it. He's got to do his job. He's a general manager. So he picks up the phone and hangs up and he's like, wow. Could everyone please come to my office immediately? Put down what you're doing and please come to the office immediately.
I just put my pen down.
Okay.
Going to the office.
Everybody gather in here. X team has just said they're going to give us their first round pick in this upcoming draft and a prospect. Let's go around the room. So-and-so, what do you think of this prospect? Yeah, I'll give it a thumbs up. Go around the room, everybody. Yeah. I mean, nobody's going, holy cow, are you serious? That guy? I'm just saying, everybody go around the room. What do you think? What do you think? Yeah, thumbs up. Definitely. I'm familiar with him. We've talked about him. Yeah, definitely. So you now have a first round pick and a prospect that everybody in the room says, yeah, definitely. Would you do it?
And you're using the Blake Coleman trade as kind of the barometer there.
And I'm saying that for the sake of this conversation, that it's Granlund. What do you do?
If you get a first and a prospect for Granlund, then you have to say yes to
that. Why is that unrealistic? What we just talked about.
I mean, Coleman has an extra year on his deal. That was a factor, right?
Okay.
I mean, and it's not like Granlund, I mean, ever since the trade, last trade deadline, I mean, outside of these last 3-4 weeks, Granlund was non-existent in a Preds uniform.
What if Colorado says, we think the West is weak and we can win right now? We're not worried about next year. We can win right now.
If I'm Colorado, I'm giving up that package for Chris Kreider. But I see,
I understand.
I see what you're saying, though. If that happens,
what would you do?
I'm taking that trade. But because I don't think Granlund is going to get a first and a prospect by Monday.
Now, there's a food for thought that says, well, why would you do that? You're in the thick of things. You're trying to get into the playoffs. You just lessened your team.
I mean, the price changes your mentality, right? Like, for me, I don't think if I'm David Poile, I don't think I'm getting a first and a prospect for Mikhail Granlund because he's a pending UFA. That's just me. Maybe by Monday you do. Even if you win the next two games, if you get that for Mikhail Granlund, you do that.
Didn't Columbus pay some pretty steep prices for guys they knew they weren't keeping?
They did, but Mikhail Granlund is not Matt Duchene. I mean, even Ryan Dezingle last year was putting up a lot better offensive numbers than Mikhail Granlund.
Okay.
For me, if they win these next two games, I'm standing pat. I'm not going all in, but I'm approaching it like I'm standing pat. If I hear something like that intrigues me and is earning more via trade than you expect or than what the player deserves, then yes, I am seriously considering making that trade.
I only bring it up because I feel like it's got to be knock your socks off or there's really nothing to discuss. That's kind of the way I look at it.
I think through this whole conversation, we end up agreeing that if you get your socks knocked off, you seriously consider making that trade. If you lose these next two games in Chicago, then you come back home on a Saturday night against Columbus and you lose as well, then I'm probably not holding out for that kind of package to unload a Granlund or even Craig Smith. At that point, if someone's coming to me with let's say a second and a prospect or a second and a third, I'm thinking, look, at that point,
you are all in on these two games. You're either ready to pull the ripcord.
I never wanted to be in this situation, but yes.
You are all in on these two games.
I am completely contradicting myself, and I'm fully aware and admitting it, but yes.
If they lose to Chicago and Columbus, you just basically said David Poile should pull the ripcord.
I mean, Calgary, Arizona, and Winnipeg all gain points in that span, right, between now and Monday? You would think.
I don't know.
The odds are good that they would all accumulate points. That means you're further away from the playoffs, and I think you just have to be realistic about things. Get something for your assets, but that doesn't mean in the GM suite you're waving the white flag on the season. I mean, the St. Louis Blues did this within the last few years where they have traded away assets at the deadline, and they've still been right there in the hunt until the bitter end.
But just for the listeners out there, Ryan Porth is saying games 60 and 61 on the season determine everything.
For Mikhail Granlund and
when
Craig
it comes
Smith,
to the trading
because
deadline.
Of the timing. I sat here 6 weeks ago and said, this is the last thing you want, is to not know what you're doing going into Chicago and Columbus. But here we are.
Sometimes it's not easy.
It's tough being in GM David Poile's shoes. And as we said to start, we do not envy the position that he's in going into the next 5 days.
Nope.
So it shall be interesting, 2 p.m. Monday, the trade deadline across the National Hockey League. Coming up next.
Biggest games of the year, Friday and Saturday.
As it pertains to the trade deadline, yes. Coming up next, will we see Ryan Ellis in those two games? Plus, Darren Donick and Chase had some fun naming the Grimaldi Bonino Smith line earlier this week. We'll get into that as well. He's Darren McFarland. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth and Darren McFarland here with you on this Wednesday evening, taking you up until Smashville Live. Craig Smith and Austin Watson will be joining Chase McCabe and Hal Gill down at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Stay tuned for that should be a great show. And if you're in the area in Cool Springs, head on down there and enjoy some good food, some good drinks, and a good show with Chase Howe, Craig Smith, and Austin Watson. Ryan Port, Darren McFarland here with you. Speaking of Craig Smith, he's on a line with Rocco Grimaldi and Nick Bonino. And you guys opened up the 1025 The Game text line, 615-737-1025, and asked for suggestions. And you got suggestions through the text line. You got suggestions through calls. You got suggestions through text messages, Twitter messages, all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Lots.
Lots. And the Grimaldi Bonino Smith line is now known as?
Well, this is my favorite.
Okay.
And I ran this by Crazy Legs, Craig Smith, yesterday before the Carolina or after morning skate. That was my pregame interview. And he liked it. He's a big fan of the movie. And he liked it. Now, this came in from a caller on the show, Kevin.
Yep.
On Darren Donick and Chase on Monday when we were doing this. And we got, like you said, just suggestions everywhere. It was hard to even keep track of all the suggestions. And the one that I liked, personally liked the most, was Goodfellas, the Goodfellas line.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, well, they're good dudes, for one. So that applies. But this is more off the movie, Goodfellas. And so you've got Rocco Grimaldi's Joe Pesci. Nick Bonino is a seasoned veteran. You know, he's Robert De Niro.
Yep.
Two Italians, right? Those two guys could get
Bonino, made. Grimaldi.
Right. Those are the two Italians. And then you've got Craig Smith. He's Ray Liotta, right? He's the outsider. He's not the true. He can't be a made guy, mm-hmm. but he's a part of the pack. He's a part of the group. He's a big part of the circle, but he can't be a made guy. Pesci, you know, is told that he's going to be a made guy, but we know how that ends. It ends poorly for him when he thinks he's going to be a made guy.
Mm-hmm.
But that I think is great. Now, you know, Craig and I were laughing about it, like Rocco / Pesci, like lay off Spider, okay? Don't do anything to Spider like Pesci did in the movie. Like leave Spider alone. But I love Goodfellas, the Goodfellas line. And I think a lot of people have brought this up to they love it.
All in?
Yeah, because it's a famous movie. I mean,
sure.
Most have seen Goodfellas.
Yes, most have seen Goodfellas.
Not all.
No.
Like, not everybody in this room.
There are a lot of people in this room.
I cannot believe you just can't see them. How have you not seen Goodfellas?
Just add it to the list. Just add it to the list. Look, I get it. We've been having this for years. I've worked in this building since 2012, and not a week goes by without someone saying, "You haven't seen that movie?" I mean,
it's a classic.
I'm looking at a list right now on my iPhone in the notes category. Goodfellas is on this list, so okay. I don't have to add it to the list.
Well, shove it to the top.
You probably added it like
shove it to the
5
top.
Years ago. There's probably like a good 75 movies on this list.
I've probably seen Goodfellas 75 times.
Mm. Oh, here's one. I can scratch Finding Nemo off the list. I watched Finding Nemo.
You watched Finding Nemo over Goodfellas? So disappointed.
I have a fiance who loves Disney.
Come on, I'm so disappointed. Don't even tell me that story. Even if Amanda's listening, I don't want you to tell me that. Like, come on. You saw Finding Nemo over Goodfellas?
I did, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Yes, you.
I also watched The Bachelor over Finding Nemo, right, but that's neither here nor there. So
send your complaints to Ryan Porter.
So the Goodfellas,
I like
Rocco Grimaldi, Nick Bonino, and Craig Smith.
Craig liked it. Crazy Legs, he liked it.
We'll see if that sticks like Jofa.
We had a good time with that conversation. He's a big fan of the movie. I brought it up to Rocco as well, just in conversation, and I haven't had a chance to catch up with Nick yet to see what his thoughts are, but I don't know. I think it's got a chance.
I texted a few to Chase during that segment, and probably the best one that I texted in was Red, White, and Bones.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Because they're all American.
Yeah, there's a lot of American themes, sure, which that makes sense. I get that. And there were some good ones.
Yeah.
But the Goodfellas one hit me. And and when you can start tying everything together, like it enhanced it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't just, you know, two Italians and a guy who wasn't. It was even more than that. So anyway, I liked it. I think it's good. And like I said, they're good fellows too. They're good dudes.
Yeah. I'll take your word for the movie part of that.
Yeah. Well, I would be surprised if I have yet to receive any blowback from people going, that was a dumb movie. I hated it.
I can attest to the fact that they are good fellas, but
yeah,
I'll take your word for anything movie related.
Okay. Well, I thought we had a successful conversation because I really wanted to see if we could find something that stuck. By the way, we were also having this conversation of how Crazy Legs was hatched.
That was Chris
Mason.
And how
Jofa was hatched.
Chris Mason was Crazy Legs.
That was on the radio side of things. That was not on the television side. This was pre-television. This was on our broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck.
It absolutely stuck.
I mean, Craig is fully aware of Crazy Legs. He's known for a good while.
So he's a crazy-legged good fella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are all compliments, by the way.
Speaking of another good fella, Ryan Ellis has been out of the lineup since New Year's Day, since he took that elbow to the head from Corey Perry. And Ryan Ellis seems to be getting closer to returning. He's still on injured reserve. He's been out with a concussion ever since January 1st. They play Friday night. I assume they will be on the ice for practice tomorrow before heading to Chicago. Does your gut tell you, Darren, that we could see Ryan Ellis this weekend, or is it too hard to tell with this stuff?
It's just so hard. I mean, I think David Poyle said it best when he joined us Tuesday show for his weekly chat. When you have an injury where you know, like a broken arm or something that's a little bit more definitive, like you're going through rehab and, you know, you messed up your shoulder or whatever. It's like sometimes, you know, you get things that happen to you and you know, like they can tell you, like, you're about a week or two out, you know, you just keep doing your rehab and you'll be ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to a concussion, I mean,
that part of it is non-existent.
You truly never know. Even the trained professionals, they truly never know. Like you can, even the person may feel good one day and you hear setback all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where one day you feel great. And by the way, we know he's been practicing, skating with the team, and you can wake up one day and you think you are right there and you wake up and
You're not. Yep.
And so I certainly don't want to try to pretend like I know. I think that he's close, but you just never know with a concussion.
Well,
you never know.
Hopefully they get him back in the lineup because they need him.
There's no doubt.
This is a crucial part of the schedule. And as we discussed last segment, these next two games, according to Darren and according to me,
I was gonna say, not
through Darren saying that I think that
the entire season hinges on for what David should do on by Monday on
for
games
deadline.
60 and 61.
You win the next two, you stand pat, you lose the next two, and you try to get assets.
You didn't weigh in on a split. There's another scenario.
Yeah,
there's
a split. I'm kind of split on that one. I could go either way. That's great radio. We're out of time. Darren McFarland, co-host of Darren Donegan Chase, weekdays 10 to 2 ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can also catch his work on the pre- and post-game show of the Predators Radio Network. Darren, thank you, as always, for joining me in studio this evening.
Thank you, Ryan. Always fun. I don't know what we accomplished, but we tried. We tried to accomplish something.
We rarely accomplish anything.
I'm not sure we did
this
time.
No, we did not.
We'll be better next time. Go see the good dudes at Smashville Live in Cool Springs.
Yes, and until that next time, he's Darren McFarland. I'm Ryan Porth. Thanks for listening to Preds Insiders. Keep it locked right here. One-third of the Goodfellas. Craig Smith alongside Austin Watson with Chase McCabe and Hal Gill. Smashville Live coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.